This tunnel had been filled with water too, because the floor was still wet. There had indeed once been a locking hatch that secured this end of the passage. Its lid was flopped back on twisted hinges. There were dents and score marks along its outside edge, where it had been wrenched and pried out of its frame. Bob and Enid had managed to close the hatch in time. Perhaps it was even an automatic response when the lab emergency exit door was breached. Not that it had done any good.
The tranny used the rungs below for leverage. That's why they're bent like that. It battered and pushed at the inside of the hatch until it could get it open.
Phew, triple strong.
And triple desperate.
Christy and Doc passed their torches up, then joined them.
By the three Kennedys, what a putrescent ball!
It smells like a bonfire of 30,000 unplucked turkeys.
There were gashes in the walls of the upper passage. They were spaced every few feet. These were big ones, deep ones.
Are those what I think they are?
Light 'em up, Jack!
Right.
Jack stuck the flamethrower's nozzle into the nearest hole and touched off a blast of fire. It howled into the ragged cleft in the wall. The congealed secretions at its base melted into spitting, smoking goo that streamed across the floor in yellow rivulets.
Short bursts, Jack, and whatever you do, don't breathe in that smoke. It'll eat your lungs to rags.
Okay.
Jack gave each of the gashes the same treatment as they advanced, working both sides of the corridor, cooking the first 5 yards of burrow in 2,000-degree heat. The companions listened hard after each blast of the flamethrower, but nothing moved in the damn walls. Nothing scrabbled to escape the horrific onslaught. Nothing died in screams of agony.
Apparently no one is home.
At least for the moment.
Ahead of them, the tunnel began to neck down even farther, the walls narrowing, the ceiling dropping. And at the edges of the light, they could see more demon holes on either side.
The tighter the space, the bigger the tranny's advantage.
Mildred wasn't suggesting that they change course. There was no other course open to them. They had to proceed. They continued to advance into the darkness.
Ryan!
That's Ryan and JB. That has to be them. And they're under attack.
Hang on, Ryan. We're coming.
Christy, he can't hear you. We've got to reach them, and fast. This tunnel has to come out somewhere.
They rushed forward, and as they did so, a shape appeared out of the inky blackness ahead. It slipped out of the wall to the right and dropped into the middle of the corridor, blocking their path.
Oh, fuck!
It crouched there, low to the ground, its shape compressed and difficult to distinguish from the floor. The thing cocked its flat head this way and that, its huge black eyes taking them in, unafraid. It was so far away. Maybe 35 feet separated Bob and Enid's demon from the companions. It was hard for any of them to believe that the time to react had already long passed. But it had. Before Jack could unleash the flamethrower's destructive power, the tranny launched itself at them. The wind of its passing buffeted them. Its horn point sliced across the concrete. The tranny was traveling so fast, it couldn't change its trajectory. It was 20 feet down the corridor beyond them before it could land, break on the wet floor with its back legs, turn, and jump again. Mildred rolled up with her revolver, leaving her torch on the ground where she dropped it. Diving away, the others had let their torches fall too, and the resulting low angle of light cut visibility by a third. She knew it was coming, and she knew she might not be able to see it before it was on top of her. From a solid kneeling position, she held the ZKR raised and braced with her free hand. She had no plan. All she had were her reflexes and skill, both honed to Olympic silver medal caliber. Mildred didn't see the onrushing target as much as she sensed it, flying high and tight along the ceiling. Doc clutched at his stomach with both hands. JB watched Ryan's bobbing torchlight fade, becoming fainter and fainter until it vanished down the slope below. His own torch was propped up against the inside of the turbine housing, casting stark, leaping shadows over the huge blades and their supporting axle. There wasn't much room to move. The available space consisted of a scant triangle of open area, its apex at the axle, and sides drawn by the edges of the fan blades. To fit inside, JB had to kneel bent over, with his shoulders twisted sideways, parallel to the channel. Jubilee was a lot smaller, but she had a baby in her belly, which limited her mobility. Hunched over, holding onto her knees in the narrow space, she was no more comfortable than he was. In the light of the torch, She looked even younger than her 13 years.
Jesus, did you finish already?
Back there in the dark, it sounded like the demon was turning its stomach inside out over its helpless victim. Jubilee shed no tears for Pilgrim Wicklaw, her ex-husband and the father of her baby. Why should she cry over that black-hearted bastard, JB thought. He noted that there were no tears on her part, period. Not for herself or for her unborn child. The girl sat on the floor of the housing, her eyes closed tight. From her pallor, she was in deep shock. Her former husband's blood had drizzled onto her face and down the front of her robe. She breathed raggedly through her mouth, her hands shaking uncontrollably. The girl was in a bad way. JB tried to see between the fan blades that were all that stood between him and the creature, still noisily puking buckets of acid. The glare of light from his torch made it impossible. He could see only pitch blackness. He shifted the Smith to his left hand, shaking a cramp out of his right, surprised to discover that he was squeezing the pistol butt that hard. At extreme close range, the .38 caliber wheel gun packed plenty of knockdown power, even against a demon. Because it was going to have to crawl into the turbine to attack them, JB figured he had a pretty good chance of doing it some serious brain-splattering damage. No matter how fast and dangerous the thing was in the channel, it was going to have to stick its head between the blades. JB didn't like the idea of Ryan doing the channel wreck alone and going so lightly armed. He would have preferred to do the scouting himself. If he had gone through the turbines first instead of Ryan, the job would have fallen to him. And he wouldn't have been left behind protecting the girl. Even though only the toughest survived in Deathlands, JB wouldn't have left the girl behind. There was silence. Horrible silence. JB strained to hear what he knew he would hear. Razor-sharp claws grated on smooth concrete. Something was bounding through the dark in great, distance-devouring leaps.
What now?
JB didn't know what now, because he couldn't be sure what the demon was going to do next. Whether it would give up the hunt because of the fan that stood in its way and the close quarters it was going to have to negotiate, or whether it would try to climb over the steel barrier or push it out of the way. In either case, JB was going to have room to aim and fire. And either way, the girl was in position to get out of the housing and survive, at least in the short term. It was very close. The creature's vibrations penetrated the housing floor and, JB had no doubt, the channel walls as well. Not human, definitely not human, but intelligent just the same. The clicking was a code understood only by other demons, a code repeating its message of territory and blood over and over again. Jubilee reached out and caught hold of his arm, squeezing it hard and digging in with her nails.
It's gonna be okay. I want you to stay as still as you can now, understand?
She nodded. JB pointed to the far side of the turbine, the side that Ryan had exited through.
Can you get out that way in a hurry if I tell you to?
Jubilee looked at the triangular gap between the blades in front of her.
I think so.
Okay. Don't move until I say so. But when I give you the word, I want you to get out of here quick and run. I want you to run as fast as you can until you meet up with Ryan. Everything's gonna be all right if you just do what I say.
JB turned back toward the noise. The gaps between the fan blades that faced him were all black. All but one. It was reddish-brown. A demon face looked in at him. Fuck! JB brought up the Smith & Wesson in a blur, but before he could fire double action, his target was gone. Just like that. Its afterimage swam before his eyes. Spiky, clumped hairs on an obscenely flat head. Black, gleaming eyes, as big as his bald fists. Rows of black-edged teeth dripping with yellow bile. The acrid stench of fresh vomit wafted into the housing. The demon was on the other side of the turbine fan, calmly considering its options, whether to jump in after them or not.
What is it?
Get ready. It can't be leaving.
The armorer knew from the greedy, hungry look he'd seen in the demon's eyes that it wasn't giving up on them. Whatever the rad blazes it was doing, it wasn't giving up. JB held the Smith's sights on the gap where the creature had last appeared, thumbed back the hammer, and let his finger curl tightly around the trigger.
Come on, you ugly puking bastard. Time to eat some lead.
The turbine housing jolted from the tremendous battering ram impact. The jarring shock stunned JB right down to the soles of his feet. He felt like he was the one who'd hit a wall. His propped-up torch fell over and rolled away. JB fumbled for it and picked it up, held it in front of him, low to the ground. He couldn't believe his eyes. The bottom edge of the fan blade was bent in a good foot. Outside the turbine, claws scraped as the demon jumped away, preparing for another ramming. The armorer braced himself with both hands this time.
Party time.
The impact shook the housing and its occupants to the core. It drove the fan blade in yet another foot.
Run, Jubilee! Run!
Jubilee cleared the housing an instant before the demon gave the fan yet another full-out slam. This time, the blade bent from higher up, from closer to the axle. On the next collision, JB knew the beast was going to be under its curled edge and in his lap.
Ryan!
The demon jumped away, readying itself for another go. JB hadn't cried for help. He knew there was no help to be had, not from anywhere. He was inches, maybe seconds away from a most terrible death. It was a cry of warning to his friend that something bad was coming his way. Something triple bad. When the demon hit the blade again, its head and shoulders popped through the gap it had created.
Here goes nothing.
JB backed away on his knees, twisting sideways and off balance.
JB!
As the sound of gunshots rang out, Ryan dashed from the channel's end and sprinted up the long, steep slope. No way would he leave his oldest friend and battle companion to die alone. Not while he still had bullets, blade, and breath. As he vaulted over the locked hatch in the floor, something moved 30 feet in front of him, fast and low to the ground. Ryan skidded to a stop. Bracing the Astra's butt against the heel of his left hand that held the torch, he took aim at the shadowy form. The demon pulled its trigger before Ryan could pull his. Leaping flat against the wall and springing off it in a blur, it landed 10 feet closer to him and on his weak side, the torch side. It was the size of a large dog. Thinking he had caught it flat-footed, Ryan swung his sights around, and it vanished again.
Oh, fuck!
Ryan whirled, following the scraping noise its claws made on the concrete, and picked up sight of it at once. It had landed closer to him still, in his blind spot on the left. Blind spot no more. Ryan squared off with the crouching demon, holding the muzzle of his weapon pointed slightly down and not aimed directly at the thing. The creature gave him a full frontal view, offering up its narrowest silhouette and the smallest possible target. It didn't jump away from him. Instead, it raised itself up to its full height, which was about 4 feet from the floor. Its back was rounded, appearing almost hunched, and it was made up of interlocking armor plates. Standing on its rear legs, it used the edges of their horns to strop the matching rows of prongs along its middle legs. Quick, precise strokes. Not the act of a creature that felt it was in any danger. Ryan backed up, figuring that every step added a fraction of a second to the time he had to react. The demon gave him a sidelong look, cocking its head. Curious. Contemptuous. Then it followed after Ryan, moving one leg at a time, with exaggerated, even palsied slowness. Was it mocking him? Ryan sensed the hatch in the floor before his foot hit it and detoured around it. The creature stalked him like he was something soft, toying with him, teasing him. Ryan swung up the 380, trying to take advantage of the larger target being offered. The demon jumped away, bouncing off the wall, hitting the floor, and jumping again. No way could Ryan track it, let alone hold a lead on it as it zigzagged around the dark channel.
Fuck!
Giving something that fast 360 degrees of attack was a tinhorn mistake. And Ryan was no tinhorn. He started backing up toward the wall behind him. The creature stopped its elaborate jumping bean act. It alighted beside the hatch, watching him retreat.
Arrogant bastard.
Ryan pressed his back to the concrete wall. Whatever stand he was going to make, he'd make it here and now. He let the torch drop from his hand. It rolled against the foot of the wall. Keeping track of the demon over the Astra's sights, he quickly reached down and drew his panga from its leg sheath. The long blade scraped free of the leather scabbard.
What?
The demon didn't flinch at the sudden noise. It was too hard focused on its prey. Head lowered, body lowered, it began to close in, preparing to spring. From the turbine end of the passage came an explosion of rattling noise. Whatever the racket was, it made the demon pause in its attack and held its attention for a fraction of a second longer than it did Ryan's.